Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. So today's episode is all about herbal support for like ongoing chronic stress, and it's got all my kind of like top tips, not just on herbs, but like kind of practical things for anyone who is coping with a like acutely stressful situation or an ongoing stressful situation. So yeah, I'm not going to talk loads because I talk loads in the episode, so I'll let you listen to that. But I just want to say we've got some sexy fucking t-shirts fundraising for the Mobile Herbal Clinic Calais. We finally confirmed a design or two designs thanks to your help on Instagram, and they are live on my website and you're able to buy them. And yeah, selling this merch is like literally the main thing that fundraises for us. Completely grassroots project that serves like hundreds of people living in Northern France, refugees, people on the move, asylum seekers. And yeah, we have a mobile clinic, tries to go every single month. It's not always possible, but the first week of the month, normally with a doctor and a team of herbalists and hundreds of herbal medicines. And we support people with like first aid and preventative medicine and self-care, things like upper respiratory infections, like coughs and colds. We get a lot of people to hospital. Before I had my baby, I was back and forth there for 4 years. Like, it's such a fucking huge project that I'm super passionate about. And it is so frustrating how much effort we need to constantly put into fundraising to make it happen. So if you can buy a t-shirt, they're also in lots of nice colors this year, that would be fucking amazing. I'll put the link in the show notes. Please share them on your social media and with your friends and things, because yeah, it just keeps the fucking project going. So yeah, anyway, and also the other thing to like plug is the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open for enrollment on the 22nd of March. No one is turned away for lack of funds. You don't have to contribute anything financially to access the learning. But if you can, that's fucking amazing. Like, the income from this course like literally sustains 90% of the Solidarity Apothecary and all the work I do supporting people experiencing state violence with herbal medicine. So yeah, if you can pay, that's fucking awesome. If you can't, that's also fucking awesome. You can still access it. But I will put the link in the show notes. Please check it out. Please join the waiting list if you're keen to learn more and you don't want to miss it. Because yeah, it's really, really special. Very comprehensive program, very life-changing. I'm going to be recording some of the amazing testimonials I've been receiving recently and sharing them on here and in other places. But yeah, please, please, please check it out. It's only available twice a year, so it's coming up to its little springtime open window, and it's the fucking best time to learn about herbalism because, you know, spring is coming for people living where I am, at least. So yeah, anyway, check that out. And I hope this episode gives some value to you. Okay, lots of love. Bye. All right, so let's dive into herbal support for ongoing chronic stress. And I guess some disclaimers that I guess this is like focused towards people living in like England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland, and like people in the kind of regions where I live, or folks in the so-called US. I'm very fucking aware that like the whole world doesn't have access to these things, or like a place of quote unquote safety, you know, like if you're living in a war zone, or, you know, a place of like active genocide or conflict or everything else. That, yeah, I'm just basically trying to name that there's like a lot of privilege with like a lot of the things I'm recommending people to implement. But yeah, I think wherever you are, like a lot of this stuff is very useful. You know, like when I talk about things like sleep, that is like very contextual. Living, for example, in Northern France, where we work with like the Mobile Herbal Clinic Calais, like a lot of what we're doing is supporting people to sleep well, you know, with things like lavender oil, because if someone sleeps well, they're less likely to not be able to fight an infection. And, you know, like they are more resilient in terms of like what their, you know, simple cold upper respiratory infection not becoming like a chronic thing or a life-threatening thing in their lower respiratory system, like pneumonia or something, for example. So yeah, even something like sleep, which might feel like a kind of, you know, a lot of people might think is like not like a bougie recommendation, but it's like, oh, you know, you've got somewhere like safe to sleep or whatever. Like actually interventions like sleep are like life-saving, like across the fucking zone, you know? So anyway, I'm just gonna get stuck in. I know people listening to this show like understand the nuances of what's fucking going on in the world. You don't need me to tell you, but I just thought I would kind of like preface what I'm trying to say with that kind of like naming of all this like structural violence that like influences these things and what are possible for people. But yeah, if you are in a situation right now where you are experiencing like ongoing stress, you know, whether that's just fucking selling your labor in capitalism or a loved one, you know, dealing with cancer treatment, or you're supporting someone in prison, or you're recovering from those experiences, or you're just, you know, a single mum trying to fucking survive, like living in poverty, like all of these things are like ongoing chronic stresses, right, that demand structural responses and, you know, resistance and movements to challenge them and everything else. But ultimately, like, you're still in that place, right? So yeah, I think it's important to just, you know, just start where you are, really. And the number one place that I always start with, near enough every fucking client or person that comes to work with me one-to-one, is sleep. It seems boring to talk about, but sleep is the most essential thing, and nothing helps the body more in terms of like repair and energy and addressing chronic illness or inflammation than like high quality deep sleep. And someone who's got a baby who's nearly two now, I know how intense like sleep deprivation and sleep disruption is. And yeah, shout out to all the parents who've been going through that, all the fucking breastfeeding in the middle of the night and all the things. But yeah, the number one thing I think if you are experiencing chronic stress is to focus on getting as much good sleep as possible. And, you know, there is like a whole hour long lesson in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course all about sleep, you know, like sleep versus capitalism, like all the things that affect sleep, like all this like sleep hygiene stuff, which, like, side note, I am like very pro supportive of people watching wholesome trash before bed, because I think it puts the body in a parasympathetic state and allows people with intense anxiety to switch off from racing thoughts. So I'm not recommending that you turn off all your devices and sit in silence before bed, because I think for someone with a highly activated nervous system, that can actually just feel fucking awful for them. But what I do encourage is having this kind of parasympathetic time through the day, so enabling even like micro moments of rest. And I know that's like really, really hard when you're in like a really chronically stressful situation, but, you know, maybe that's like having a cup of tea outside somewhere, or having a cup of tea inside somewhere, or, you know, staying on the toilet a little bit longer before you go back to a stressful family situation, you know, just like any little bits of time that you can snatch that enable you to like breathe out a little bit, I think is really important. But in terms of sleep, like, oftentimes when we're in this like really intense like fight or flight activation, like high levels of cortisol and stress hormones, if we haven't had access to that kind of respite, it can be extremely difficult to get to sleep. And that's when I think there are lots of amazing herbs that can support us. So I think people have probably seen me talk about it in the Herbalism and Sleep Violence book, or on my episode about herbal support for grief. But like when my best friend Taylor killed himself in prison, I was in such an acute state of rage and activation, and all day long had to deal with these like prison authorities and like all this fucking like gnarly funeral organizing stuff, that like I didn't have access to that kind of like rest and digest state in any way. Do you know what I mean? So getting to sleep was really difficult because of the like just the levels of adrenaline. Which is why I worked with like a stronger kind of sedative, like hypnotic nervine called Wild Lettuce. You know, like I've had clients that have had like sleep issues, and yeah, I always start with, for example, like Skullcap, which is like much more like nourishing and is like more of a long-term tonic, but is also quite sedating and hypnotic.
And then if that's kind of not working, then I'll move to things like wild lettuce. But I had someone who like just kept sleeping through their alarm, like nearly lost their job because they just had such deep quality sleep with this herb. But yeah, other sort of accessible herbs are plants like passion flower. Or yeah, like working with, like, I know skullcap's very expensive, but it is really wonderful in terms of supporting someone to access that like more parasympathetic time before bed, which enables like deeper quality, more like restorative sleep. When you have a lot of stress hormones, they're gonna, you know, they're potentially gonna be waking you up in the night, right? Like high levels of cortisol are gonna be leading to this kind of like wake up time, you know, like between 2 and 4 a.m. often, or maybe like super, super early, like 6, 7 in the morning, which, you know, is a normal wake up time for lots of people. But for other people, especially if you've gone to bed late, that's like too early. So yeah, we kind of wanna be working with herbs to, yeah, bring down that like activation as much as physically possible through the day, but then yeah, just kind of supporting you through the night. So yeah, sleep is number one to survive a ongoing chronically stressful situation. And it is such a shame that the body needs sleep more than ever, and the sleep disturbances really fucking kick in with trauma, and I talk about that loads in the PTSD course. So yeah, it's a bit heartbreaking that the body does that, but you know, it's in survival mode, and when we're in survival mode, we might not like want to sleep deeply because, you know, we need to wake up and see if like the fucking threat is still there, right? So it kind of makes physiological sense, but it's also like gutting for when people are going through a lot, they really need to sleep well, and that's really, really hard. So that's when herbs can, you know, can come in. It's so hard to not go into loads of detail about this stuff, but I just want to, I guess, flag this is something I talk about in the course, but some people working with like sedative or more hypnotic herbs like triggers a really intense, like fearful state for them, especially if they've experienced trauma like sexual assault or violence, like while being like drugged or drunk or something like this. So I just want to give that caution that like, if you struggle with that state, there may be a reason for that, and it might be more appropriate to work with like more kind of like uplifting kind of, yeah, more like gentle herbs that work on like reducing the activation in the sympathetic than the, you know, the fight or flight system, like lemon balm and lavender, for example, that don't trigger such a like full on kind of sedated state. Okay, so next is nourishment. And I know this is fucking difficult, again, when you're experiencing chronic stress, because the stress response will turn off, not completely, but it will commonly, in a lot of people, turn off desires for hunger, you know, like it will, like desires for food, sorry. So we won't necessarily get those like hunger cues. Like, for example, if you have like a really, really nonstop stressful day, and then you get to the end of the day and you're like, fuck, I haven't eaten. Like, that's the nervous system kind of like not protecting you, but it's kind of like preventing you from eating, because when we eat, we use energy, right? That's why we go into this like parasympathetic rest and digest state, is so that the blood can move from, you know, like the head and into the gut, and not from the head, but from the periphery to the gut to help digest our food. And so, yeah, when we're like highly stressed, we're not kind of necessarily getting those cues to eat, if that makes sense. And we're often feeling like we can't eat because we don't feel like we have the time to just sit and stop and cook a meal and, you know, sit down with a loved one or whatever and have a good meal and then give ourselves enough time afterwards to digest it well. So I totally understand that stress like fucks with you, like food wise. But if you can focus while in that survival time on getting food in you, or say, for example, you're supporting a loved one who's going through a lot, taking some of that pressure off them by making them dinner, or, you know, taking them for a meal out, or ordering them a takeaway, or, you know, like, for example, if someone's just had a baby, like fucking organizing to drop off meals so that they don't have to cook and they can just receive that nourishment, like, is a really, really nice thing to do. Because like I said, like the stress response kind of creates like a hierarchy of what's important to us. And that stressor is always the thing demanding our focus, but actually like our body has all these other needs. So yeah, if you can support someone or yourself to eat as well as you can, then you're going to be reducing the harm and the risk that the impact of this stressful period is going to have on someone's body. Does that make sense? When I'm working with clients in general, I like to support people to shift to have more protein and more like vegetables and antioxidants, you know, like colorful vegetables and some fruit. I think a lot of fruit, unfortunately, just triggers all sorts of gut bacteria stuff for people. So I think just like focusing on vegetables is like normally really good. But yeah, when we have more protein, we can support like all our systems in our body. And yeah, I think it's that thing when we're in a stress response, we often really crave carbs, basically. Like, and I understand, like, I don't have things like crisps in the house because I would just want to eat them like all day long. But yeah, like our body will crave certain things like sugar, for example, when we're really stressed, because our system is full of fucking blood sugar and our gut bacteria is probably a bit, you know, disrupted. And so we might be craving more sugar then. But like, if you can shift to, you know, higher protein, even if it's like, I'm just going to have more protein for breakfast, like I'm going to have walnuts with my oats, or I'm going to like fry some tofu in the morning or whatever, like just trying to start your day with a bit of protein will help a lot with that kind of like resilience to stress. Likewise, like healthy fats, like I know everyone takes the piss out of millennials of like, oh, avocado, but like actually fats are really, really needed by the nervous system, especially in terms of brain health. So, you know, getting things like, you know, you can buy fucking flax seeds and chia seeds for like super cheap from places like Lidl. I know they're not the most fucking ethical places in the world, but like, I'm just saying a lot of these things like aren't as out of reach as like we perceive them to be because of all this like fucking, you know, like middle class kind of wellness marketing. But yeah, like healthy fats, like things like avocados and nuts and olive oil, stuff like this, like that is really, really going to help our kind of body's reserves in surviving things. It might be that you're on the move a lot and it's very difficult to like actually make meals. And if you have access to things like protein powder, I do think a good quality protein powder can be really life-changing for someone who's quite protein deficient. I'm always like food first, like let's focus on food changes. But like while someone's going through that intense period of stress, who maybe doesn't have time or doesn't feel like they have time to really prepare a meal, then something like a protein powder smoothie can just support their body, like, you know, in that moment. So yeah, so that's quite like a good kind of not like hack, but it's something I recommend to folks who, yeah, don't have many spoons, who are like struggling with, you know, like cooking for themselves or looking after themselves because of like chronic illness, for example. So yeah. And then I guess the other thing to talk about is supplements. And I know supplements get a bit of a bad rap, like herbalists are always like, oh, you just need everything from food and plants and like blah, blah, blah. And yeah, fucking yes. If you can eat fucking wild berries and get all your antioxidants, that's fucking epic. I love fucking foraging. I love berries. That's amazing. But actually, you know, we're forced to not live like that in fucking capitalism. So it is difficult to get what we need. And then you bring in layers of things like, you know, malabsorption or like gut problems that affect how much things you can absorb. And yeah, also our fucking bodies rinse nutrients when we're stressed. So like, I like to think of someone who is surviving an ongoing chronic fucking stress situation as like a fucking athlete. Like you need to be having like optimal fucking nutrition. Like, you know, a lot of like organizer types who are just organizing, like fast pace, like all this resistant stuff, like all this chronic stress, their adrenals are just like boom, 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 boom. It's like you need that nourishment like in those fucking cells to keep you going. Otherwise, you're gonna burn out really hard. And so, yeah, I think just like going for good quality supplements like can be a real game changer, especially if there's this like misabsorption pattern. And the other thing to name is just like industrial agriculture is fucking shit. And like a lot of the soil health has been destroyed by fucking capitalist agriculture, by, you know, various like synthetic fertilizers and pesticides and everything else, herbicides. So it's like, we're not actually getting the levels of nutrients that we need from our food. Even if you eat like really great organic food, if you bring in one of these digestive issues, it's going to be a challenge. So I really think things like vitamin D are very life-changing for people. If someone is vegan or prone to like a more kind of like diet where they're not eating very well, then I think B12s are really, really fucking important. I talk about B12 in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course. There is just like endless research connecting B12 to anxiety, brain fog, lack of focus and concentration. Like, you know, there's so many things going on with B12 that I really, really, really recommend it to people. It's not enough. Like, if you just eat B12 from like fortified sources, like that's my opinion. So yeah, a good quality B12 supplement I think is really important, and the quality really matters with B12. So yeah, so I think those supplements, it's kind of like harm reduction, right? Like they're going to be helping you not fall into a heavily depleted state. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about with nourishment. It's just doing your fucking best, you know, like even if you're going through loads of fucking stress, you're driving around, maybe you're like in between like housing situations, like just the difference between having a bag of nuts versus a packet of crisps with no nutrition or chocolate with loads of sugar in. Like if you can just do some like simple swaps between food that is going to give you genuine energy versus food that is going to take energy from your body and trigger inflammation, then yeah, that is going to be potentially life-changing. Okay, so then we're going to go to nervous system support, right? And again, this is something I talk about loads in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course, but the default in our culture when we're struggling with energy or when we're going through a lot of chronic stress is like we reach for the stimulants. And trust me, like I'm nearly two years into baby land. Like I love my fucking coffee. Like I do need it in the morning these days because, you know, I just don't get the long periods of sleep that I used to get. But unfortunately, capitalism has just marketed these amazing, wonderful herbs, which are very traditionally indicated for people in incredibly fatigued chronic illness states. And they're giving them to people who are often in intense states of fight or flight and maybe not, you know, actually experiencing intense chronic fatigue, but actually are just really fucking overwhelmed and stressed. And, you know, people with chronic fatigue can also and do also and mostly also feel this fight or flight all the time. But what I'm saying is like, be very fucking wary of the kind of like energy supplements that are marketed that contain herbs like rhodiola, for example, which is, you know, traditionally indicated for people, like I said, in like severe states of like fatigue and long-term illness. And, you know, these herbs can like put a lot of fucking pressure on the adrenal system and enable you to keep going to the point that you burn out even harder and face even more serious disease. So, you know, also like several of the ginsengs, for example, might come into this category. Like they're often marketed as like adaptogens to help you adapt to stress. But what you really need when you are adapting to stress is actually, more often than not, is just like nervine relaxants. So these are herbs that help you shift from a highly activated fight or flight state into a more parasympathetic rest and digest kind of state where the world doesn't feel as threatening, where you don't feel as anxious, where you feel like able to connect with humans or animals or plants. And what we need when we're in intense periods of kind of like survival chronic stress states is like as much access to this kind of downtime as physically as possible. And when something is a constant threat, even if we are kind of like resting, our body is often still constantly processing or like perceiving that threat. Does that make sense? So for example, supporting people in prison, I might have access to kind of parasympathetic time, you know, like watching trash in the evening or like foraging or doing medicine making, things that make me feel good. But there's like part of me and my nervous system that is like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Like my friend's in solitary confinement and, you know, like a white supremacist tried to fucking stab him, or, you know, my other friend in prison has cancer and if she doesn't get these test results, then blah, 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 blah. So it's like there's often this like level of like background activation that is just like humming and humming and humming. And I think that there are herbs that really support to like tone that down. I don't think it's a case of like you take a herb and you instantly feel like calm and groovy. Like for people experiencing chronic stress or trauma, it's so rare that you're going to experience that feeling of safety and relaxation. Does that make sense? But you can like take it down two notches. And I think that's where herbs really come in, is they can be working almost like at a tissue level that we're not aware of. Does that make sense? So herbs like chamomile, I know people are like, ugh, chamomile, you know, it's like sold everywhere, blah, blah, blah. But like, if you have a really fucking strong cup of chamomile tea with like several chamomile tea bags, or a really strong chamomile tincture or glycerite, you're like, you are going to fucking feel that effect. Like it is a really underrated, powerful herb. Rant over. But yeah, like these nervine relaxants like chamomile and lemon balm, or hawthorn, you know, hawthorn has this amazing effect on all the blood vessels. And I've just seen it over and over and over again, just has this like effect where it can just like, yeah, take down this background anxiety a few notches so that you can like function a bit better and think a bit more clearly and feel a bit calmer and a bit more open and loving. Or, you know, like plants like rose and lavender. So yeah, I explore these in depth in the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course. I have got another, I'm going to be doing separate episodes. Hopefully, whenever I say, oh, I'm going to be doing this, then something happens with the baby and then I can't do it. So I'm wary of saying what I'm going to do, but I would like to, in the near future, record an episode about these different types of nervines, which are herbs with an affinity for the nervous system, so that you get more of a picture of what I'm on about, basically. But yeah, when we're in that chronic survival mode, any herb that can just take that level of activation down a few notches, I think will also prevent harm and enable you to, yeah, access a little bit more of this kind of rest and digest state. So yeah, I kind of feel like when you're in this survival mode, this like harm reduction strategies are like really, really important. The other aspect, I think, is like managing expectations around quote unquote healing. And like, I think when you're enduring something, it's more about like letting water out of the tap. Like I had an amazing comrade who sort of supported me with like free counseling for like 2-3 years when I had no fucking money and my best friend was going through cancer and all this fucking stuff with my other friends in prison and suicide attempts. And like my PTSD was just like off the fucking charts with like prison related things. And instead of this pressure of like, I need to be this like perfectly regulated human, which is fucking impossible, actually it was more about like, how can we open the tap just enough to release? Because I think when you're going through something really, really full on, it is when that builds up and up and up and up, that's when we develop, you know, like intense fucking breakdowns, for example, or like severe crises or like severe fucking flare-ups and periods of burnout that take years and years to recover from, if we do. Whereas like, again, like a harm reduction thing, like if we can just like release things a little bit to like take rocks out of the backpack kind of thing. Like I think when someone's going through chronic stress, they can't put that fucking backpack down. They have to keep carrying it. They don't have a fucking choice. Do you know what I mean? Like your best friend's got a life-threatening disease, or your partner does, like, or they do, or you are the person with that disease, like you don't have a choice, right? You can't just like turn it off, so you have to carry it. But if we can just like, you know, take a few of those stones out, then it will be a bit lighter. And I think, yeah, less pressure on, you know, healing and processing and all of this stuff, and more just kind of like, how can you release that like activation in your system? Okay, and then the other thing is like working with nerve tonics. And you would kind of think that nerve tonics would come when there's like a period of burnout, because that's when we often reach them. You know, I get the client that comes to me when they are really fucking burnt out, when they're just really struggling and the fatigue has got overwhelming or their illness has got super overwhelming. And that's when you're like, okay, right, let's work with this and this and this. But like, you can also work with nerve tonics, and nerve tonics are herbs that help like the structure and the functioning of the nervous system. Like, you can work with them as preventatives. Like, that is the best fucking time to work with them. So for example, I knew that when I had Lee, I was like very frightened of developing like postpartum depression because my mum had very severe depression when I was growing up. So I just, that was really important to me. And I'd seen, you know, other people go through postpartum periods with like vast amounts of like chronic stress on their systems, you know, leading to all sorts of like hormonal issues and yeah, just like states of depletion. And don't get me fucking started on capitalist parenting and the lack of the fucking village. Like, all of this stuff is fucking massive and real. And for me, knowing that that is the reality, I wanted to like resource myself as much as possible. So like the second I had that child, I was taking like blends that were full of herbs like milky oats and shatavari and hawthorn berries and schizandra. And I started having St. John's wort pretty much like after I'd given birth, because I just wanted to support like my system. I wanted to support my adrenals and all the like stress response stuff. I wanted to support, you know, my digestion. I wanted to support my liver most especially, so that I could clear all those like hormones from the pregnancy and, you know, hormones from like the stress responses. So like, yeah, like working with those tonics as a preventative of burnout was like really powerful for me. And there are certain herbs that can be very stimulating to certain people, like schizandra. But if you're not in a really intense state of depletion, but you're under a lot of pressure, I think it's like a fucking amazing herb. And I think in this category, it is often like the berries, for example, or the roots that really, yeah, just like help prevent you from getting to that intense state of burnout. Like, I remember when Taylor tried to kill himself and was in hospital and was in a coma, and I text my friend Rashika, who I've got a podcast interview with, and I was just like, I'm in fucking London, like I don't have any access to my herbs here, like I'm staying in a fucking hotel near the hospital, like the prison fucking paid for the hotel, which was like really weird. I think they thought he was gonna die like straight away and he didn't, and then they were like, well I don't know how many more nights we can pay for, and I'm like, you're fucking paying for it anyway. I text her and I was just like, I just need support. So she just did a fucking amazing decoction for me with like all the fucking roots and like, you know, nettle and elderberry and like just these like herbs and plant medicines that were like full of like nourishment. And yeah, like it was a fucking tonic and it just helped me not fucking collapse, basically. Like, I needed to get through these really fucking long days of being around prison officers while my best friend was like chained to this fucking hospital bed. So yeah, like those herbs like helped me in that acute period. It didn't mean that I was going to be taking them for 6 fucking months, do you know what I mean? Or stimulating my system over and over again. It meant that during that period of stress, that couple of weeks where things were like really, really fucking intense, where there wasn't an option to breathe out, they had my back. And yeah, that's what I talk about in the Herbalism PTSD course, is like, yeah, working with these kind of nerve tonics as a way of like, how do we maintain our nervous systems and give them the best fucking head start? Because like, lo and fucking behold, like things are not going to get less stressful. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been drafting a newsletter about like, is herbalism trivial? Because I think people, you know, can think it's like this cutesy hobby of like, oh, I'm foraging, and it's like all cottagey, like doing stuff in your kitchen. And it's like, no, like herbalism is fucking survival for a lot of fucking people. Like, plant medicines are like the primary form of healthcare for most people on the planet. And when we can like work with these herbs, like, you know, I want to fucking support the organizer who's resisting ice for 6 fucking weeks, like constantly in their community, who's not sleeping well. Like, I want that organizer to feel energized and nourished and to have good enough sleep so that when, you know, they get to that kind of endpoint, if there is an endpoint, they can like, you know, fucking not get there in a state of like extreme fucking depletion and stress, where we just lose people in our fucking struggles and our communities to intense, debilitating fucking chronic illnesses, which are traumatic as fuck for them. Like, I think that prevention is really fucking important and really like politically important as well. And I think a lot of people like don't give themselves credit of like how intense a lot of this work is, you know, like how intense it is to, you know, like survive certain situations and what people have been through. You know, the solidarity stuff is really intense. Like, it's just fucking intense. Like, the world is fucking intense for people. So like, let's fucking embrace like the fucking land, because the land can support us and nourish us. And I know most people don't have access to land, and that's exactly how capitalism is designed. But if you do have access to land, if you're a herbalist, if you're able to access plants, then that's why we need to be fucking distributing medicine to people like on the fucking front lines of resisting this fucking world. Oh, ran over. But yeah, I'm just trying to say nerve tonics are fucking great for maintaining and supporting people in periods of acute stress and chronic stress and recovery from stress. So yeah. Okay, finally, some last little things on my notes that I wanted to say is that, like, when you are in that survival mode, reaching out for support can be like critically important, because, like, for example, like when I'm in a super stressed state, I often struggle, even though I'm a herbalist, to know myself, what do I fucking need right now? And like, it sounds daft, but like, sometimes I'll text friends that are like herbally people, and they'll just be like, Nicole, take this. I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, because I just like, you know, the fight or flight nervous system state literally switches off like quality thinking. So yeah, it's really hard to make those decisions about what we need when we're like acutely triggered. But what I wanted to say is that, like, if you are able to, supporting yourself or someone else to access support is really fucking powerful. So like, if you are like, you know, someone you love has just died, you're really not fucking coping, like if you booked in with a herbalist who could do that thinking for you, you know, who could make that blend for you, who can get those herbs in the post to you, so that all you have to do that day is deal with whatever fucking thing is hanging over you right now while accessing those herbs and that support from the land, then that's fucking ideal. Do you know what I mean? And I wish more groups of friends would just chip in for each other, so that one of their friends could access counseling or access a herbalist or have a fucking massage, or do you know what I mean? Like, just building that kind of collectivity into it, I think, is really important. So yeah, so if you can kind of like outsource a bit of that thinking, I think that's like really, really valuable, because I think when you're in that like survival stress land, often you're only either thinking about yourself and your urgent needs, like, okay, my family is about to become homeless, or you're preoccupied with someone else's needs, like, you know, my friend has cancer, or, you know, whatever's going on for you. So I think if you can access like someone else who can help hold stuff for you, that's fucking awesome. And, you know, like, any support is better than fucking none. Like, I think people want like a groovy protocol of like, okay, I take all these supplements every day or da da da, but like, taking a supplement once a week that your body is really deficient in is better than not taking it at all. Do you know what I mean? So I think this kind of like white supremacy culture of like intense perfectionism just has to fucking go. Like, we need to be able to just kind of like be allowed to be inconsistent. And, you know, there's all sorts of hacks, like leaving your supplements next to the kettle or something where you make your coffee so that you are reminded to take them. You know, there's all of this bullshit. Like, there's so many podcasts about that stuff. But yeah, I just think like, even the tiniest bit of support, if it's one herbal cup of tea you can take a day to give your body 10, 20 minutes max off from your stress response, then that's fucking epic. And that's a good thing you can do for yourself. If it's one bath once a week, I hate this obsession with baths and self-care. It's really annoying that it's like the default, but yeah, some fucking nice, I don't have a bath in my caravan, so I'm sad about that. But, you know, having like an Epsom salt bath once a week or something is also great, like harm reduction of the impact of chronic stress. So anyway, I'm going to stop there now because I've been talking a long time. If any of this stuff is like interesting to you, then the Herbalism, PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open really soon. If you want to join it, please join the waiting list. It means you can get a discount code if you're going to pay for it. You can also access the course for free, okay? It's no one turned away for lack of funds. I fucking mean that. Like, if you can't afford to donate anything, that is absolutely fine. Like, 2/3 of the people that access it, you know, don't or like put in a small donation. I think the average is like £15 or something. But yeah, that doesn't fucking matter to me. Like, what matters to me is fucking solidarity with people who are trying their best to survive this fucking world and all the fucking shit in it, and are connecting with plants as that source of support that they've been denied because of our culture and how disconnected we are from the land, from the medicine all around us. So yeah, thank you for listening. Please check out the course. Share this with someone who's going through a lot. I'm still supporting people one-to-one. So if you wanted support from a herbalist, like, please don't be afraid to reach out. Or if you know someone that's struggling with that and you and your mates can like chip in to help make that happen for them, that's fucking awesome. We also have support via the Black Flag Herbal Clinic, which is like an anarchist-free clinic, which is completely for free. So if, yeah, money is just like not a fucking option for you, then that's a good option. Unfortunately, there's a really long waiting list now because I can only see like 2 people a week through that clinic, but we're going to be building it out with more herbalists and stuff. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back very soon to talk about more herbal things. Let me know what you thought of this show. Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.